Open your Bibles, please, to the 84th Psalm, Psalm 84, your Schofield Reference Bible, page 640. And this Psalm of 12 verses, we'll read all the verses, taking note of the sixth verse, which is the text verse. Psalm 84, we'll read responsively all the verses, and may we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrows hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will sleep still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And let's pray. And Father, we present ourselves to thee this morning. We're a needy people, and our needs vary. And surely, nearly every need known to mankind is represented in this building this morning. Thou dost know our needs. Thou canst fill our needs. And you've used the preaching of thy word in such a wonderful way during this past year in the filling of so many needs. Bless, we pray, our hearts with the preaching. Bless our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, a valley or a well. A valley or a well. The psalmist said, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, or use it as a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Now there was no place, as far as I know, called the Valley of Baca. This is not a valley like the Valley of Hinnom or the Valley of Gehenna. There was no, to my knowledge, anywhere in all the land, a place called the Valley of Baca. The word Baca means weeping or suffering. And the psalmist said, when you're passing through the Valley of Suffering, make it a well or make it a pool. And I want to speak this morning on the subject, a valley or a well. Before I pray, let me lay the foundation. The psalmist David loved the house of God. You cannot read this 84th Psalm without feeling the agape devotion and love that David had for the house of God. And I want to say this morning, I think I know how he felt. I love the church. I love this church. I love this building. I love this pulpit. I love these people. You. I love the organ. I love the piano. I love the choir chairs. I love the carpet. I love everything about it. And I love the saints of God. And I want to say this morning. You are just as right with God as you are with the church that Jesus loved, and for whom he gave his own blood. You can't be wrong with the church and right with God. Jesus died for the church. Church of God purchased with His own blood. You ought to make a resolution as deep as your soul this morning. Not that you have to come to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but that you need to come. That you want to come. I'll be quite frank with you. I sometimes wish we had church every day. I mean that. I mean that with all my heart. And David, the psalmist, was thinking about the house of God when he wrote this little line, "Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pool." As I was looking around a while ago, I said to the ushers, every usher that I saw, I knew of a burden through which he had passed in the last year, or a heartache that's his all the time. I won't share them. But you have them too. If you have not passed through the valley of Baca, valley of suffering, sorrow, heartache, and weeping. If you've not passed through that valley, you will. You will. I say this often. I look at our high schoolers at graduation times. Only time I ever get them down at the front, some of them. And look at them. And I realize that up until now, it's been football, cheerleading, school, dates. But in just a few months, life becomes complex. One of our young ladies of the day graduated from our high school a couple of years ago. Grew up in our church. Family was here when I came. And she said to me, she said, "Oh, your sermons have been so much better lately." You know why? Because she's an adult now. She's married. Going through the fire. I'm not sure the sermon's any better. I expect she's been needing them now more. The valley is a reality. It's not something the preacher preaches, but it's reality. And if you have not been in the valley of Baca this year, or if you're not in it now, you're going to be there. This world is and has for everybody a valley of Baca, the valley of sorrow, the valley of suffering. Father, bless our message today. May it be to our people on this first Sunday of 1986 exactly what it ought to be and what they need it be and what Thou wouldst have it be. Take my lips and make them Thine. Take my heart and make it warm. Take my mind and make it alert. And take my body and may it be yielded to Thee, that I may be a tool of blessing and strength and encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. David loved the house of God. This psalm was probably written at a time when there was a big feast or a big meeting at the house of God. For some reason, David could not go. I do not know what the reason was. But David was heart sick because he could not go. Whatever was going on at the house of God. He said in this amazing psalm, all of which deals with the house of God, "Oh, how amiable are Thy tabernacles, O Lord." He said, "My soul longeth for the courts of the Lord." He said, "Blessed be they that dwell in God's house." He was talking about the sparrows and the swallows that get to build their nest. We used to have some birds that used to hang around and nest out here between the walls here. The main wall out here is a facade, and the hallway used to be the front part of the front sidewalk. And so it has some birds that dwelt out here in that little section up there. And I looked out those birds often and envied those birds. This is their home. They live in the church house. And David said, "I envy the sparrow because he builds his nest at the altar. And I envy the swallow who gets to live at God's house. He said, a day in the courts, thy courts, is better than 1,000. And then he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Then he talks about how wonderful the house of God is, and then begins to lament the fact that he can't go. Boy, I wish I had a church where everybody was that way. I wish when you can't go to church, you'd cry at home because you can't go. I wish when came time for Wednesday night to be here, and somehow it's impossible for you to come to church, I wish that it would hurt you, and you'd feel like you were in a valley of tears, a valley of weeping, a valley of sorrow, because you couldn't come to church. You know, David likened his condition to a valley of Baca. There was no valley of Baca, but he called it the valley of weeping, the valley of sorrow, the valley of heartache, the valley of sadness. And David said, and I love this little statement, he said, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. David is in the valley, but David said, I won't let it be a valley. I'll make a well or a pool out of it. I'll make something refreshing out of my heartache. I'll not let my sorrow control me, but I'll control my sorrow. I'll not let my heartache use me, but I'll use my heartache. There are two theories concerning sorrow. I'm going to call one the compensation theory. I'm going to call the other the transformation theory. Now, the compensation theory is good. Nothing wrong with it. It's just not the best. But here's what it says. It says, I'm going through the valley. And you are. Many of you are. Hundreds of you are. Most of you are. Now, in the valley. All of us. In some area of our lives are in the valley right now. I mean, valley of tears. And most of us have wept in the last 24 hours because of sorrow, burdens, and heartache. But there's one theory that Christians use, and I think it's a valid one and a good one, though it's not the best. And that is what I call this morning the theory of compensation. We compensate. We say, okay, we're going through the valley. We will seal our lips tight and take it, for tomorrow it'll get better. Or happiness will come by and by, though sorrow is here now. Or if it storms today, the sun will shine tomorrow. Or if the world is a great down, the next world is going to be a great up. Or the bad prosper here, but thank God the good prosper there. Or we must wait for our happiness, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Him. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So I'll gladly run the race till we see Christ. And there is a truth in that. I mean, if we're in the valley now, the mountain's just ahead. If we're in the shadows now, the sunshine is just ahead. If it's midnight now, noonday will be here in 12 hours. And if it's sunset now, in a few hours, the sun will rise again. And let me just say this morning, that is a truth of this blessed book, brother. If you're having it tough now, hang in there, boy. The sun's going to rise one of these days. Mark it down. And you folks living for the devil, you look at us that we're trying to serve God, and you say, boy, what's he done? What's she done? And what's the good about being a child of God? Well, you just hang around, Buster, till the payday comes. Hang around. I'm saying this, enjoy it, sinner, while you're in sin. Enjoy your nightclubs. Enjoy your discos. Enjoy your rock and roll music, because the best days you'll ever have are right now. But bless God, the best days we'll ever have are yet ahead of us. I mean, this world is not my home, and I am just a passing through, and my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, and the angels do beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel much at home in this world anymore, and heaven is coming,
and Jesus is coming, and victory is coming, and sunrise is coming, and noontime is coming, and payday, blessed be God, is going to come. Now this morning, I want to give you the other theory, which I think includes the compensation theory but transcends it. That is what I call the transformation theory. If you're in the valley this morning, you can say, well, bless God, I'll stick it out in the valley because later on it's going to get better, and that's okay. But David makes a suggestion here that if you're in the valley, won't you just make a well out of it? Valleys make good wells. Valleys make good pools. Valleys make good lakes. David said, turn it into a pool. Now you see, folks, listen to me. Life depends on what you do with it. Here's a person that has a death in the family. He used it one way. Another person has a death of the same loved one. He used it another way. Here's a tree out in the forest. And different people look at that tree and see different things. The savage sees that tree and uses it for a canoe to float in the river. The builder sees that tree and uses it for planks to build a house. The doctor sees that tree and uses its bark for medicine to cure the sick. The farmer sees that tree and uses it for fire wood with which to warm his house. Now, there's a tree. Different people look at it and use it for different things. Now, David said, you can take your burden or your valley of Baca, and let's face it, you're there, many of you, most of you are there, most of us are there. You can take the valley of Baca. I mean the reversals in life. I mean the heartbreaks in life. I mean the sadness of life. I mean the sorrows of life. I mean the defeats of... And by the way, I even mean the sins we commit. And David said, there's several ways you can look at it. You can despair and say, well, nothing's turning out right and everything's gone wrong and I just don't see how I'm going to make it. Or David said, you can if you want to. You can be in the valley and say, okay, I'm in the valley now. I'm not going to think about now. I'm going to think about it after a while. I'm not going to think about today. I'm going to think about tomorrow. But he said, there's a better way. There's a better way, and that better way is to say, okay, I'm in the valley. I'm going to use it for good. I'm going to use it. Something happened to this microphone. I'm going to use it for good. He said, I'll make a well out of the valley of Baca. Now, you can use your burden any way you want to. You can use it for a time of despair if you want to. It's up to you. If you want to do that, you can do it. But you're foolish to do it. Get on top of it. Oh, I get tired of hearing folks say, well, I'm pretty good under the circumstances. Often tell the security guards, they say, how you doing, preacher? Well, I said, not bad, considering my blood pressure and my biorhythm and my pulse rate and my temperature. I'm doing pretty good. Well, bless God, get on top of those circumstances. Don't be under them. You can take them and get on top of them and use them and determine what they're going to do for you and make a well out of your circumstances. You can sit there and feel sorry for yourself, and there's nothing any worse than under God than for us to be in the valley of Baca, whining, complaining. Listen, brother, the worst person in this room this morning has it better than 99% of the population of this world. And get out from under your juniper tree and quit your whining and quit your griping and quit your complaining. Stop and realize that you can take the very valley in which you passed, through which you passed this morning, and make a well out of it. You will not rule me, valley. I will rule you. You will not force me, valley. I will force you. And valley, you won't get on top of me, I'll get on top of you. And valley, I'll make you a well. I'll make you a pool. I'll use you for something refreshing. You will not, hear me now, you will not be any longer a valley. You will not be a valley, said Dr. Bill and Kathy Rice. You will be a well. As they looked at their little daughter, who would never again hear a bird sing, never again hear a church choir, never again hear a sermon, never again hear an I love you, never again hear mama's voice or daddy's voice. They looked at the little child and they said, you'll not be a valley. We'll make you a well. And they built in that valley the great Bill Rice Ranch that's reached thousands and tens of thousands of deaf people to the glory of God. You will not be a valley, said Ron Hamilton. And the doctor said, you have cancer of the eye and you'll lose your sight of that eye. You'll not be a valley, said Ron Hamilton. I'll make a well out of you. I'll take that very eye and cover that eye with a patch, and I'll become Patch the Pirate, and I'll bless literally tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of children and teenagers and adults. Why? You'll not be a valley. Get under me, valley. I'll make a well out of you. You will not be a valley, said Tim Lee, who in the war lost both of his legs. He looked at that valley and said, you'll not be a valley. I'll prepare my life to preach the gospel, and I'll cover this world preaching the gospel, sitting in a wheelchair. You'll not be a valley. Get onto me, valley. I'll make a well out of you. You'll not be a valley, said Nell DeBoard, a little lady in my church in Texas, whose son died in her arms at the age of 15 months on Christmas Eve. Walked back to the house, little boy's body in the funeral home, looked at the Christmas tree and the toys under the tree to be opened tomorrow morning. She said, you'll not be a valley. I'll take you and make a well out of you. I'll read the newspapers every day, and I'll find the name of everybody that loses a child in this whole county. Everybody that loses a child, I'll go see them and tell them that God is able to sustain and give strength when a child is taken. You'll not be a valley, said Coastal Hiles, as she faced one of the most rugged, long valleys anybody's ever faced. She said, you'll not be a valley. You may take my 7-year-old daughter. You may take my second 7-year-old daughter. You may take my husband and make him an alcoholic. And you may cause me to live in poverty, but you'll not be a valley. I'll take you and make a well out of you, and I'll rear and train a preacher boy. That's what I'll do. You will not be a valley, said Earlene Stevens at the darkest day of her life. You will not be a valley. You'll be a well. I'll make a well out of you. As she faced the darkest day of her life and made a well of it, and now has become one of the most respected members of our church and our college family. You will not be a valley, said Lee Robertson. I'll make a well out of you. As he heard of the death of his little daughter Joy, and from that valley, in that valley, he built a great camp called Camp Joy, where tens of thousands of children have received Christ as Savior, because Lee Robertson said to his valley, you'll not be a valley. David looked at his life and felt the tears as they rolled down his cheeks, and felt the burden of his heart and felt the loneliness. And David said, I'm in the valley of Baca, but it's not going to be a valley. It's going to be a well. I'll use my tears to bring victory. I'll use my sorrow to bring victory. I'll use my heartbreak and my burden. I'll use it to refresh others and refresh my own self. I'll not live in a valley. I'll make a well there. I'll not live in the valley, said Marlene Evans, who does not get near the... If she didn't go to church here, she'd be a hero here. But because we know her well, we don't understand the greatness. Oh, she said, you'll not be a valley. As the doctor said, you have cancer. And as she was rolled into surgery, and as it looked like in those days when it looked like she was not going to make it, the doctor told her, you just got a few years of life to live. But Marlene Evans reached down in that valley, and she saw the shadows, and she saw the fog, and she saw the darkness, but she said, you won't be a valley. She said, I'll make a well out of you, and I'll bless thousands of women across this world. You won't be a valley, said Fanny Crosby, as she realized she'd never see a sunrise, never see a sunset, never see a loved one's face, never see a church, never see a congregation, never see a rose, never see a lily, never see a daffodil, never see a chrysanthemum. She said, you'll not be a valley of blindness. I'll make a well out of you. And I'll write 8,000 songs that'll be sung in churches as long as the world stands. You'll not be a valley. You'll not be a valley, said Mrs. Bartels, as she stood at the graveside of her husband, who was a pastor. She said, you'll not be a valley, widowhood. You won't be a valley, lonely years. You won't be a valley. I'll go to First Baptist Church of Hammond. I'll spend my life praying for the Hiles as he preaches and travels up and down this country. I'll not let you be a valley, as she saw the lonely, widowed years of her life. She said, you won't be a valley. You'll be a well. You won't be a valley, said Dan Wolf, young man who realizes he's going to have to live his life without his arm and walks around with a hook on his arm. You won't be a valley. I'll use you, he said. I'll use you as a testimony. You won't be a valley. Let me tell you something. Quit your whining. Let others feel sorry for you. Quit your complaining. Let others pity you. Quit your self-compassion. Let others have compassion for you. Get up and look at your valley this morning, and I know you've got it, and I feel for you and hurt for you, but don't hurt for yourself. Let me hurt for you. Let others hurt for you. You look at that valley this morning, that burden, you look at that heartache, that sorrow, as you enter a new year, and you look at it and say, let me tell you, old valley, you just sit there and act like you've got control over me all along, but brother, I'm going to turn you over and make a well out of you. You won't be a valley, said Ken Smith, who realized he could never walk like normal young men could walk. You won't be a valley. I'll make a well out of you. And I'll not only be a part of Howells Anderson College, but I'll be a part of the athletic department of Howells Anderson College. You won't be a valley, said Helen Keller, as she looked at her deafness and her blindness and realized with no way to communicate, she could not hear, she could not see. But she said, you won't be a valley. I'll make a well out of you. I'll make that well so men all over this world and women all over this world will know that God can do miracles and God can bring joy to those that cannot hear and cannot see. You will not be a valley, said Moses, as he gave up the throne of Egypt with his impediment of speech. You'll not be a valley. I'll make a well out of you, and I'll lead the Jews to freedom and victory. You will not be a valley. There are two types of people here this morning. There are those who are in the valley, weeping and lamenting with self-pity, and there are those who are in the valley, looking at somebody else's valley, trying to help them to make a well out of their valley. Oh, let me say, you don't understand my problem, nor do you understand mine. But I'm not going to spend my life in the valley trying to grope my way. I'm going to say, for the grace of God, if I'm in a valley, God put me in this valley. God wants me in this valley. There's a purpose for this valley. I'm going to make a well out of it. Or a pool that others may drink and be refreshed, that others may wash and be clean. Others may walk by its side and receive the cool breezes coming across the pool that I make while I'm in my valley. You can't make a well out of a mountain. Mountain of water does not gather on a mountaintop. It gathers in the valley. You will not be a valley, said 700 left-handed men in the book of Judges. 700 men who had been wounded in war. Back in those days, they used their right hand to fight in war because they had no guns and so forth. They used their right arm to hurl spears and to wield the knife and the sword. And these men had been wounded in action, and their right arms had been incapacitated, paralyzed, I don't know, amputated, I don't know. But these 700 men, now unable to use their right arms, got their honorable discharges from the army and could go home and follow or lead a parade down the street to the hometown and be welcomed as heroes wearing a medal of honor on their chest. But they said, no, sir, there's a battle raging here. We won't go home. We don't have a good right arm. We still have a good left arm. We can't throw with our left arm. We'll learn how to throw with our left arm. We can't wield a sword with our left hand. We'll learn how to wield a sword with our left hand. And these men said, We'll stay in the army. No right arm, but we'll learn to throw with our left. And they practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced till the Bible says they could hit a hair's breadth with a stone thrown with their left hand. Why? They said, we're in a valley, but valley, you'll not be a valley. You'll be a well. You'll not be defeat. You'll be victory. You'll not be lamentation. You'll be rejoicing. You will not be a valley, said the Apostle Paul, through thickened glasses, eyes unable to see, almost blind, would have been declared legally blind in our generation. You'll not be a valley. You'll be a well. And I'll use you to take the gospel to the known world. You won't be a valley, said Jacob, as he was there at Jabbok. And as he wrestled with God and got his thigh out of joint and limped the rest of his life, he said, you won't be a valley. I'll be a prince from now on. I'll make a well out of you. You won't be a valley, said Dr. Charles Weigel, who in the darkest hour of his life, when his wife left him and took their only child, he was left as an evangelist without a wife who would not be an evangelist's wife, sat down in his darkest hour and wrote that song, I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me. And Weigel said, you won't be a valley. You'll be a well. That's what you'll be. You won't be a valley, said Tom Williams, when he faced the darkest hours of his life. He said, I'll pour water in you. And you'll be a well. This microphone is not doing very well this morning. You'll be a well. You will not be a valley. As day after day after day after day after week after week after week after week after month after month after month after month. He faced the most discouraging days of his life or almost anybody's life. But he said, you won't be a valley. Oh, let me tell you this morning. I can't get you out of the valley, but I can tell you what to do with it. Make a well there. I can't get you out of the valley, but I can tell you what to do with it. Make a pool there. I can't tell you how to get out of the valley, but I can tell you what to do while you're there. Make a victory there. David said, I go through the valley of Baca. I'll make it a well. You will not be a valley, said Joseph. In prison, I'll make a well out of you and I'll become the second command one of these days in the entire kingdom of Egypt. You won't be a valley, said Dan Parr, as cancer gripped his body and was about to take his life. I'll make a well out of you. I'll make the greatest days of my ministry my last days. You won't be a valley, said Lynn Cunningham, who had polio as a child. They said he'd never walk again. Lynn Cunningham said, you won't be a valley. I'll make a well out of you. Became the world record holder for the mile run in the United States of America. You won't be a valley, said Elmer Fernandez, a little Cuban boy reared with people being killed by bloodthirsty enemies all the time, living in Cuba during the revolution. No hope, and Elmer Fernandez said, you won't be a valley. I'll make a well out of you. I'll give my life and reach more Spanish-speaking people for Jesus Christ than any man in the world today is reaching. You won't be a valley, said Duke Morales. Reared over here at Boys Town. You won't be a valley because I didn't have a normal home. You won't be a valley because I was with the wrong crowd. You won't be a valley. I'll make a well out of you, and I'll be on the faculty at Howells Anderson College. You won't be a valley, said John and Madeline Penley, as they said goodbye at this altar to little Danny at the age of 4 who died of an awful disease. We'll take this valley and make a well out of it, and I wonder how many people whose lives they bring joy. John Penley stood up here and acted the fool, which is no big problem for John. That was natural. But he stood up here and acted the fool at watch night service, and all of us laughed and enjoyed it. But what we don't understand, that big old body has a heart in it as big as the body is and a soul as big as the body. And he just simply said, I'm not going to spend my life in the valley. I'll make a pool out of that valley. My God will supply all of my needs. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
You will not be a valley, said Larry and Maxine Stromberg, as they saw the charred body of their little daughter in the corner of the restroom. And as they laid her in the casket and told her goodbye after they'd gone for months and months and suffered through hell trying to get her, nurse her back to health after she was in a car wreck and in a coma for months, they said, you won't be a valet and you won't find a more cheerful couple in this church than Larry and Maxine Stromberg. Why? Because they didn't sit there and whine and say, I'm in the valley. They got up! Said, valley, I'll make a fool out of you. There's something beautiful as I close. It says, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Make a well out of it. Use it as a well. Now listen to this. The next word says, the rain also filleth the pools. Didn't say, hear me. Didn't say the rain filleth the dry spot. You put the first water in there. And God said, I'll add to it then. God didn't say you dig a hole and I'll fill it. God said, you get a hole, start filling it, and I'll pour it full, overflow it. God, you know, you don't come to God and say, oh God, make me a well out of this valley. Leave God alone for a while. You make a well out of that valley. And God comes and God sees a person that'll not whine and pine and not lament and feel sorry for himself. And God says, that fellow's got a pool going there. Think I'll invest a little water in that pool. Before you know it, the pool's overflowing. See, you make the well and start putting the water in, and then God overflows it so you can be a blessing to millions of people. My little mother didn't say one day, I think I'll dig a hole so God can fill it with water. She said, I'll pour what water I got into it, and God overflowed it, and she became one of the most famous mothers in the world. I know. I do not know, like some of you know, what a valley is like. I do not know the depth of some of your valleys. But I've had a few valleys in my life. I'd like to testify today. Valleys make beautiful wells. And valleys make beautiful pools. And once you decide not to give up because you're in the valley, and once you decide to make a well out of the valley, God looks down and says, your best days are ahead of you. Your best victories are ahead of you. I'd like to stand this morning on the first Sunday of 1986. And I'd like to testify that when you're in the valley, in these times in my life, not as many as most of you, and I have nothing which to feel sorry for myself about. But I've been in enough valleys where I know they're very usable and very useful. Make yourself a pool. And the God of glory will look down and say, that fella is still kicking. He's still trying. And he's still smiling. Did you know the most beautiful sunset in the world is a sunset just after the rain? Did you know the most beautiful sight in the world is the sun shining through the clouds? Did you know the most beautiful sight in the world is the sun shining and causing the grass to glisten after a stormy night? And did you know when God in heaven looks down and says, there's a fella in the valley, but he said, you'll not be a valley. You will be a well. And I'll use you and you won't use me. And I'll control you and you won't control me. God looks down and says, there's a place I'd like to invest some water. And God sends his pools of refreshment and causes your well that you made yourself to overflow, and others will see what could have been a valley that became a well, and others will be blessed and changed, and they too will say, I just think I'll go in the well-making business myself. Our Heavenly Father,